Welcome to the Handlebar Podcast. These episodes are conversations around questions young followers of Jesus are asking. If you'd like to have a question answered on the podcast, you can submit your question on our website. We also want to ask you to consider giving. We're totally donor funded, and if our podcast has encouraged you, we want to ask if you'd consider giving a gift of any amount on our website. You can get more info about who we are, our merch, and how to partner with us at thehandlebarpodcast.com. We love you, and we're so glad you're here. Let's jump in.
Hello, everybody. Elissa here. Welcome back to the Handlebar Podcast. Yeah. We are so excited for this next episode. Before we jump in, just want to remind everyone, we have a sponsor now, Audio Link. We are so thankful for Audio Link. So basically, what Audio Link does is if you have a bad sound situation, church, youth group, I don't know, worship team,
prayer room, live stream,
mm-hmm. anything that you would like help in your quality of sound, check out Audio Link. They love the Lord and they love to support the church in this way.
Yes.
So we're super thankful that we've got to meet them and they are supporting us. So just want to give the love back and let you know if you want help, what was it?
In your audio drama.
That's it.
Drama. We don't like drama.
Ooh. No audio drama. Audio drama is worse.
All right. So we're back. Aaron, what are we doing right now?
Episode with Any Boo.
What? Not Any Boo.
Any Boo.
Honestly, that's really Any tender, boo. And I receive it.
With Eniola.
Yo, Eniola's been staying. How many nights you slept on our couch the last week?
Let's see.
Enough.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to go back to my bed.
No,
I know.
Kidding.
She needs a bed.
I'm kidding. But it's just endearing. I love
my couch.
Yeah, that's your couch.
It is my couch.
At this point, that's your couch. That ain't my couch.
Me and Nala's couch.
That's it. Yes. Yes. Praise God for that couch. All right. We have a question. Let's draw. Who's drawing?
Let Eniola draw.
Eniola. Eniola. Here is the question.
If we are supposed to be one body in Christ, why is there so much church division with regards to race?
Whoa.
Brian, 25, Newport Beach.
That's yo, crazy. Newport Beach is your hood.
It is my hood. I know Brian. I don't know Brian. I'm just playing.
You could.
Who knows?
Maybe
probably
do,
walk
maybe
past each other on Pacific but Brian, Coast Highway.
From Newport Beach. Yo, Joel and I almost drowned in Newport Beach.
What?
We were surfing together, and
Eniola witnessed it.
I was observing this.
And those waves came in, and I've never been that scared of the ocean until that day.
I observed this. I was flying a kite and deciding I was going to move to Huntington Beach while they almost drowned in the Pacific Ocean.
In the Pacific Ocean.
I love that you were flying a kite.
You were abiding.
I have not thought of a kite.
And I'm over there striving to get out of the water just to
it
get back to the beach.
It was the first time I had ever flown a kite in my life. And it was flying. Like, it was in the air. I was having a moment with God and the wind.
This is what will happen to me if I move here.
Listen.
That's
like, yes. I literally was like, wow, I think I was born to do this. So I moved.
Starting a kite is so vulnerable.
Can I tell you something? I did not start that kite. A child did. Somebody's child did. Who was out there with us. They started it and gave it to me.
Yo, that is true. That is one of the most vulnerable things, starting a kite.
If you watch someone trying to start a kite. Whoa. Oh, my God.
So awkward.
That's crazy.
All right. Well, anyways, back to our question. Who asked Brian?
25,
dude. Newport Beach.
Please read the question again.
I'm sorry.
We got off track.
If we are supposed to be one body in Christ, why is there so much church division with regards to race?
Racism. Let's talk about it.
I just want to start by saying, I'm not going to say what you think I'm going to say. I'm going to say racism is trash. Okay? Period.
I agree.
All right. Let me start the timer. Here we go. 15 minutes.
Boy.
All right. At the table, we have an Argentinian. Mm-hmm. Or an Argentinian. How do you say it?
Yeah. How you want to say it?
Argentinian. Argentine?
No.
It's Argentinian.
Argentinian.
Yeah.
There we go.
I think
we got an Argentinian
person. When it's a thing, it's Argentine a lot of times.
We got an African.
African.
Yeah, and then we got a hybrid here between Alyssa and I.
Yeah, me and Aaron are
half Hispanic.
You're the same.
We're half Hispanic.
Well,
half white.
So am
half
I.
American.
Oh, so you're hybrid too?
Yeah.
Let's go. Hybrid models all the way. Let's go, baby.
I'm not a hybrid of anything.
Yeah, you're not a hybrid. Eniola was born in from Nigeria, born in England.
Let's go.
Moved to Atlanta.
Let's go.
Then made it to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Then went to North Carolina and Charlotte. And then went to Dallas and then to Redding, now in California. Girl, you are a
from
world
shining sea.
All right.
Actually, you're right. That's exactly what happened.
You've seen America.
I have. I've seen this seen it nation.
All right, let's talk race.
I'm a little out of pocket today, guys. I'm sorry.
Let's talk race. Let's talk racism. Mm-hmm. I love that Eniola is here for this question because you have deeply informed me on this topic. Mm. Not, I almost said of racism, but it's so much grander than
it
just the topic
so
of racism.
It is so much bigger than racism.
I feel like I have learned so much from you specifically when it comes to race, ethnicities,
yeah. I think if I look at that question, and I'm just going to start with what it says, which is technically why is there so much church division with regards to race? And one, because the church is made up of people. Mm-hmm. Like the church isn't a building, it's people. And the reason there's division is because so many different people have different perspectives, but we're all sharing our perspectives in so many different ways. And I think ultimately, you know, I started the way I did. It's like, at the core, racism is trash. It's terrible. Because racism is hatred. And 1 John 4 tells us that if I hate my brother, then I have no part of God. So very plainly, like so simply, there's no place for hatred in the body of Christ. But I also realize that the division comes from such a nuanced place. I think part of it is there's just so many layers. I think on one end you have part of the body. I'm talking specifically about the church. So you have a part of the church who doesn't think that racism is that big of an issue right now. You have part who just, you know, maybe just don't think racism is real. You have people who think, who see racism as real and don't know what to do about that. And I'm talking from every ethnicity. I'm not even just talking about black, white. I'm talking about every ethnic group. Just kind of approaching racism, race and race relationships from this place of like, man, how do we talk about it? How do we approach it? And so I think the division, the reason there's division is 100% because we are people and we all have different ways of approaching this conversation. Mm-hmm. I think for me, where I begin and where I've learned to begin with this conversation, my story when it comes to this is that I feel like the way I wrapped my mind around race started from a place of frustration and anger. Hmm. I won't even say frustration because sometimes you say words to make things less, from anger. Hmm. And I was angry because it was more people's misunderstanding and people's fears manifested as hatred and as like kind of flippancy. And I felt like as a black person, I'm like getting the brunt of that. And so I was like, how do I do this in the church, like in the body of Christ, Big C Church? Like, why does it not matter? Why does it not matter that people are dying in the streets at, you know, and being shot and killed? Why is it that there are certain parts of the city that have more care taken of it than other parts? And the demographic in those cities seem to communicate that the powers that be care about one group of people over another? Why is it that this is majority culture and then anything I do is exotic, new, and crazy? Like, and I found myself, anger was the feeling, and I stepped into this space with the Lord of intercession because I was like, I'm angry, and I don't want to use my anger to sin. So how do I do that, Lord? And the journey really took me into this place of seeking the Lord about, you know, what is the real issue here? And ultimately, it's taken me to the scriptures because we all have opinions and everyone has an opinion. I have strong opinions. But in the word of God, there's a day coming where we will all be around the throne. I think it's Revelation 7, verse 9.
Yeah.
And we will be around the throne, every tribe, every tongue, every people. What's beautiful, every nation. And what's so beautiful about the word nation in the Bible is it's a Greek word called ethnos, which is where we get the word ethnicity from. And so the scriptures have a value for the concept of ethnicity. Almost everywhere in the New Testament that you see the word nations, even sometimes the word Gentiles, it's referring to that word ethnos. And so God cares. He cares that every one of his children from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and every people group is around his throne worshiping him. And so I think part of that concept of division is I think sometimes we want perspectives to be shared in a way that we all kind of agree on. And we're like, yeah, we all agree that this is something. And I'm not talking about, you know, is racism bad? Is this good or that? I'm more so talking about, like, people need to talk to each other and talk about the things that make us different as opposed to kind of building constructs of generalization.
I think, you know, I can speak for the American Western Church because I've been raised in America and in the Western Church. Mm-hmm. But I think something that I have realized and seen or even have had to fight against in my own upbringing of the faith is the misconception that Jesus is a white male with blue eyes, blonde hair. Like, oftentimes, you know, you see the nativity and baby Jesus, he got them beautiful blue eyes, he's a white baby. And I think when it comes to racism, one of the biggest things that has helped me in regards to embracing other ethnicities is the fact that Jesus is a Jewish man.
Yeah.
He's not white. He's not American. He doesn't, you know, if he were walking on the earth today, he would not be able to vote in America. I hate to tell you that, but
that's crazy.
He's not an American citizen. He's Israeli. Mm-hmm. He's Jewish. And I think that in itself helps me understand why I have given my life to a man whose ethnicity and culture is foreign to mine.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He would be a foreigner walking around in the States. And so, I mean, I read an article, I think, of anti-Semitism as racism. You know, anti-Semitism is a big word to say hatred for the Jews. But I read an article that Hitler, out of his own mouth, confessed that Christianity was the most... was the religion he related to the most. I don't think he was confessing to be a Christian, but he was saying, if there were a religion I relate to, it's Christianity. And I thought, the one who, you know, we all know what Hitler did with World War II.
Yeah.
Yet he was it was almost like in the name of Jesus, he was going to kill Jesus's people. And I think of the deception that has crept into the globe around just racism in general, race, ethnicity, language, cultures. And I think of Jesus being someone who's a different ethnicity and a different culture than mine and my upbringing. And I realize, wow, I have to embrace the cultures of the world. Mm. And in fact, I think of John 4 when I think of this, and I think of Jesus telling his disciples, the scripture says he had to go to Samaria. Mm-hmm. So he had to go to another context. He had to go to another... he had to go to a Gentile. He had to go to a Samaritan woman. Mm. And I think, where in my life have I adopted that same reality where I have to embrace someone from Africa as one of my best friends? I have to do a podcast with someone who's Argentinian. I say it right that time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The point I'm trying to make is where this I'm is embracing good. Other cultures into my daily life. Because I think one of the most frustrating things is when people are like, yeah, I'm all about diversity, but everybody in their circle looks just like them. Or churches that say, we're a diverse church and all are welcome. And, you know, everybody from every nation, yet everybody that attends that church looks just like the senior pastor.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that first shook me the most to the upper room when I started coming is truly I looked around and I thought, we got Koreans here.
Yeah.
We got black people here. Mm-hmm. We got white people here. Mm-hmm. We got Mexicans here. Mm-hmm. We got
Colombians
here. It doesn't matter what row you sit on, you're probably going to sit by someone who's different than you. Yeah. And I think, man, what a better. Yes.
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 Yeah.
That is so good. It makes me think of the passage in Luke 10, the parable of the Good Samaritan, you know? But what is before the actual parable is it says, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit life?" And Jesus said to him, "Well, what is written in the law? What is your understanding of it?" So Jesus is asking this man, "What is your understanding of my words?" And so the man says, "Oh, well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus says to him, "You've answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." And then this verse, it says, "But the man wanting to justify himself said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" And basically this man is saying, basically he's trying to see if Jesus will give him permission to pick who his neighbor will
be to
him.
This is good, Elissa.
And Jesus is saying, you don't get to pick who your neighbor is. Who, like, everyone is precious to God.
Yeah.
And so then he goes on to tell this story of the Samaritan helping the Jewish man who gets robbed on the road, and Samaritans and Jews hated each other. They could not get along.
It was racially charged.
Yeah. And so Jesus uses this parable that just shocks this man, because he was like, "No, you don't understand. Like, to love me is to love who's in front of you, and you don't get to choose how much you love someone or how little you love them."
Wow.
And so I think for me, it's like I can see us justifying, well, this person looks like me. I'll love him a little more than this person who doesn't look like me. You know, we can then tend to show up a little less, you know, and it's this judgment. We judge based on appearance, where it says God looks at the heart. And so I think for me, I'm confronted with, if I have chosen to follow Christ, that means I love who Christ loves. And who does Christ love? Everyone.
Yeah.
He has no, even scripture says that he has, he is no respecter of persons. Right. Or that means he has no favoritism.
Yes.
And so I think for me, it's really opened my eyes, you know, to be like, I don't have to agree with certain things to love. But I'm also not going to let, you know, my disagreement or my own perspective cause me to shut my heart off from other people.
Yeah.
You know, or just, and really it has everything to do with my pride.
Exactly.
You know, where it's like, I don't know, I can't receive someone who's different than me or something like that, you know? And so I think this passage just really stands out to me, how God talked about racism, quote unquote.
Yeah.
You know, to this man, where he's like, you don't get to pick your neighbor.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful. And I think as you're talking, I'm just, people are afraid of what they don't understand and what they can't control.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't, like, I'm having this thought, my friend is a real estate agent and he was telling me, people can be the most like open, welcoming people in their lives, but when it comes to buying a house, when it comes to what's really important to them, they oftentimes will go to a real estate agent that is their same culture or looks like them or somehow they can relate to, because it's this like more like tribal thing within them. Like, I don't really understand what I'm doing, so I just want to be with someone that I think I can trust. And it's the differences. And I'm even having a thought, like Martin Luther King had this same question. He posed it differently as more of a, I want you to think about this, mm-hmm. that like Sunday morning is the most segregated time in America. Mm-hmm. And it's very true. Mm-hmm. You can go to a black church, a Spanish church, an Asian church, or this church or that. Like people have gathered within their own tribes. And even Paul addresses it when a lot of Bibles translate the word to sectarianism. But what mm-hmm. he's talking about is we all come to church together, but then the Greeks hang out with each other. And then these people hang out with each other. He's like, this is not the body of Christ. Yeah. Yes. This isn't what God wants. Wow. And I think, as I think about this conversation, there is a lot culturally we could open up.
Totally.
But I think it's helpful to zero in on like the value. Why did Jesus ask this question? Why did he like tell this story? And I have this one thought. I want to read this because I think it's the beginning of it. It's the story of the Tower of Babel. And prior to this, everyone had the same language and the same culture. And it just says that the Lord confused their language and dispersed them all over the face of the earth, right? So there's this moment. One moment, everyone speaks the same language and they have the same culture. The next moment, there's these different languages and people are different. Mm. And over time, they'll grow to be even more different from each other.
Yeah.
And when I think about the plan that God has from creation to the end, it's mostly a story of things being perfect in the garden and this arc of it's broken and then he's returning them back to the way they were.
Wow, yes.
For me, this is the only thing that I've found that post the garden will never return that way.
Yeah.
Because on that day, every nation, he's not going to bring them all back so that they speak the same language. About this that God actually loves.
Yeah,
that we speak different languages, that we're different cultures, that we understand different sides of him and relate to him differently. Mm. So God is celebrating that we're different. But his vision of different is different but together.
Exactly.
And celebrating one another.
Wow. Yes.
Which is, number one, the devil obviously does not want us to do that.
Yes.
He hates that. He loves be different or have a multicultural church that has people that look different but have agreed we're all going to be this culture and we leave our culture that we came from at the door. He loves the devil loves both of those things. Mm. It's when you start. That's why a house like ours, where when you've made the presence first and it's not about a certain culture or a certain preference, you know, we get in a room and just minister to God. We're not even really talking to people all the time in the prayer room. Anyone can come because the presence of God has no ethnicity.
Right.
But if you ask different cultures, oh man, I just feel the fire of God right now. Or you'll talk to another person. Oh, I just feel that like the different cultures are going to even interact with the presence of God differently. And they'll, mm-hmm. and they'll receive different things from God.
Wow.
And so really, I believe the reason why, the question was, why, if we're supposed to be one in the body of Christ, why is there so much division in regards to race? It's because the devil hates when we're together.
Yeah.
Because it's God's vision for the end. It's his mindset.
That's where we're going.
Yes. When this thing is finished, when all sin is gone, it will look like every tongue and tribe worshiping Jesus together.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I think with what you're saying, I'll say this real quick and then I know the timer went off, but the body of Christ, we're also called his disciples.
Mm.
And what was the biggest argument between the disciples
who's the greatest?
And I think if you look at the body of Christ now, it's like we would like to say like, oh, I'm so glad we're not the disciples. We don't argue about who's the greatest when we're at our church. But yet if someone different walks in, we're like,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think I love that if Jesus wanted us all to look the same or to model one expression, he would have only had one disciple.
Exactly.
But he brought in disciples who were completely opposite from each other. How do you have a zealot and a tax collector?
Yeah, and the same.
And they decide to love each other, not based on their own, you know, perspective, but they let God unify them, that we both love God, and that's enough for me to love you. And I love how the Lord does that, where he's like, hey, it's, I'm not looking for one single way to be modeled or expressed. Like, I love what you were saying, Rafi, of how God loves all the different expressions because they unfold new things about him that my way is limited in. You know, and I learn from Eniola, and I learn from her culture, mm-hmm. and I love the, your parents have an accent that is gorgeous to me, you know, and when they talk about the Lord, no, I just like, I ran into Eniola's mom the other day and she started like praying for me and encouraging me. And I literally knew, I was like, man, this woman has been with God this morning and I needed to hear what she had to say, you know, and I would so, if I was prideful, and I don't know, just it's pride, really. You know, I would so miss out on things of God, and I would create my own theology of, and I would pick and choose what parts of Jesus I like and what parts of him I don't. And anyway, that's all I have to say.
So give us a handlebar, Elissa. We can start with you around how would you give someone a handlebar to help either embrace what we're talking about or help to bridge that divide? Like fill the gap where we feel like there's such a space, there's such a tension, there's such a chasm between us in this conversation of race. Like what would be your handlebar you would give someone?
I think I would say make a friend with someone who's different than you and watch what God does. I mean, me and Eniola have been friends for like 11 years.
Yeah.
And we were so different toward each other 11 years ago than where we are now.
Man.
I had to repent and be corrected, and Same. She would have to say, hey, this feels like this when you act this way. Wow. And it was like, wow, I didn't know I had exclusive tendencies because of the way I grew up, where I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And I have learned so much about God through Eniola and learning about her culture and how different. And she's understood more of maybe the mindset I've had.
Mm-hmm.
But what's so beautiful is neither of us have tried to force each other into her. I haven't tried to force Eniola into my mindset.
Right.
And she hasn't tried to force me into hers. Mm. God has literally called us to let go of things that are not of him as we've gotten to know each other.
That's
it's true. Like, wow, like, I didn't realize I was this way. And so my handlebar is make a friend.
Yeah, that's great.
With someone who's different than you. And if someone, if the way someone does something is like, if it seems annoying or frustrating to you, that's an open door to ask them to coffee. Be like, explain to me like why you like to do these things. I've noticed this, you know, and to love them. And to get out of your own head and see the body, the real body.
Yeah.
So that's my handlebar.
I want to jump in and say that's amazing. And I do think that, at least for me, I can't imagine there not being a handlebar that's somehow connected to relationship. Maybe you guys do have one. But I think relationship is the answer to this question.
Yes, yeah.
Agreed.
There's so much... I'll just throw this in there. If you look up Daryl Davis TED Talk, watch that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a TED Talk about a guy who basically, through relationship, took down the Ku Klux Klan in Maryland.
Yes.
Through relationship over years.
Mm. Wow.
And he's not talking about Jesus, but I've never seen someone talk about race with more of the heart of Jesus than that guy.
Wow. Mm.
And what he was talking about was relationships. So I would speak to you, if you're a church leader, I'll do this. If you're a church leader, if you're leading a youth group, if you're leading a small group, if you're leading worship, if you're leading anything, because this was about the church.
Yeah.
I would basically just charge you to do the same thing that Elissa said with intentionality. If there's someone at your church that's a different culture that you don't understand, or someone that's not at your church, someone that you know, ask them over for dinner. Ask to have time with them and ask what their story is and listen with open ears and an open heart. And come as a student.
Yes.
Because the more we learn about each other, I believe the more space there is for us to grow in relationship. And I think that's the way toward communities that look like heaven.
Yeah.
I do. I'm just going to do it because I have to. I come from a house of prayer in New Jersey called Resting Place. Ugh. And I would say they walk this out better than any place
any
I've ever
place.
Seen.
That's beautiful.
And it was all because our leader is not the most profound preacher. He's not a worship leader, but he is a king of relationships and making people feel
the
safe.
The king of that.
And over years, he has built by relationship. He has built relationships with people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. I mean, more than you could even imagine. And what you see now, I watched it. It was one by one. It was like the Latino community, some Koreans, some like, one by one they came. And as there was a safe place for them in at Resting Place, more would come that we didn't even know. And I don't, maybe it's spiritual, I don't know. But once one community was like, we honor you, more of them would come.
Yes. Wow.
And if you go there now, there you cannot say there's a majority of any.
It is,
anything,
it is
anyone.
The most diverse group anywhere that I have ever seen.
That's so beautiful.
Like, it is gorgeous, like, looking around and just being like, every single ethnic group I could think of. Is here.
Yes. And I believe it looks like heaven.
Yes.
And so that's what I would say. If ask the Lord for his heart on this, but be intentional and ask someone, what is your story? Tell me about if they came from another country, tell me about the country you came from and just listen, open your heart and listen.
Bro, that is my handlebar as well, is ask questions. I was going to say ask questions. And then I also think do a Bible study or pray with someone from a different culture.
Wow.
And I think praying is a safe place to start, but I think doing a Bible study with someone from a different culture, you actually will probably be wildly blessed by the amount of deep revelation you receive from someone's perspective of scripture that has a different culture than you.
Yes.
And they start talking about how they can relate to scripture or just pulling out nuggets that you would have never been able to pull out from your own culture or your own upbringing. Yes, by the Spirit of God, but I believe in doing Bible studies with people, you actually get such deep revelations that you understand the heart of God in a way that you couldn't without embracing their culture. So that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say ask questions and do a Bible study and pray with someone who's from a different culture than you, ethnicity than you.
My handlebar is that to ignore, get rid of, get out of the line of fire of all the chatter around this.
Wow. Yes.
Like, just kick it out. The fruit of the chatter on racism, and when I say chatter, I'm literally talking about, like, the explore page on Instagram, someone's random TikTok, like spiel, like there's just so much emotion fueled chatter on so many sides of the spectrum against, for all these things. And if you read 1 Timothy, it talks about how the chatter of, like, you know, whether it's talking about mythologies or controversial things moves people away from the Lord, while when God's actually trying to get us to be aligned in a place of faith.
Wow.
And faith is the place that helps us to get to a place of unity. And actually, God wants something more than unity. He wants oneness. The body itself is completely different. He uses body to describe his people. And the body is different.
Wow.
Like, my hand is totally different than my ear. They're so different, so diverse in expression, but they are all part. And if one is not working, then something's off completely. And I'm realizing that, like, I'm realizing that so many times we talk about this as if it's almost like the ear is having a discussion with other ears about how important it is that everyone respects the ear, when the ear and the hand need to remember, like, I need you.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
If I'm itchy in my ear, only my hand could do something about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, does that make sense? Like, yes. And so I'm just, I think I'm, I feel so, the chatter is invading our conversations. It's invading the way that we even love each other. And, and lastly, kind of going back to what we said in the beginning, my second handlebar would be, immerse yourself in God's desire for every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people
Revelation
group.
Revelation 7.
That is not just saying become a missionary, unless you want to. But that's also saying, like, that's also saying, like, give yourself over to the reality that what your world is not the only thing God cares about.
That's right.
He literally died for the world and the nations of the world. And the believer in Jesus Christ, I believe, has to have a grid for the other nations of the world. So one handlebar for me, my second handlebar would be pray for the nations of the world.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow. Like, give yourself over to like, even if you got to take a map of the world and throw a dart and be like, I'm gonna pray for wherever this thing lands.
Morocco.
And if it lands in the middle of the ocean, just do it again. And,
Indian
you know,
ocean.
Pray for, you know what I'm saying? Like,
the North Sea.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're like, I'll pray for the closest people to this to this dart. But I say that to say, one, get rid of the chatter. Like, just violently erase all the chatter from the racial conversation in your life. Because that's making things real weird and real sticky. And then two, pray for the nations of the world. Like, get your heart, take ownership of a nation in your heart and go, I will spend however long God gives me praying that his power and glory pours out on the people of Burundi, Africa.
Burundi.
Like, you that's just, like, give yourself over. And the beautiful thing is God will cash in on that, yes. And whether he sends you there or he sends people your way or just these beautiful things will begin to happen and you'll realize, oh, this is what the enemy's trying to keep me from.
Yeah.
He wants me over here finagling in this conversation about racism when actually there's something higher and more beautiful that I could be centered on, which is like, oh, my gosh, Lord, you want me to see your glory revealed in the South African brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes. So
good.
Yeah. And you'll in this episode, will you pray?
Yes, I will.
This is also our last episode with you. So just pray. Pray for those that are listening. Pray for this topic. Let's just end in a short, quick prayer.
Yeah. Jesus, I just bless you. I thank you so much for your presence and for your friendship. I honor you for inviting us into your story, Lord. And so, God, I just ask that you would infuse every heart with faith that there's something more than arguments and conspiracies and made up stories about each other, that there is a vision in your heart for oneness and that, God, we could be a part of that. So I'm asking that every person under the sound of my voice is hit with a desire and a love for someone who they would not typically reach out to and be connected to. And I'm praying, Lord, that you give everyone just a longing to see your glory revealed in all the nations of the world, to see what does God's glory look like through the eyes of a Romanian? What does God's glory look like through the eyes of someone from the Fiji Islands, from Canada, God, from Iceland, from Ireland, from Nigeria, from South Africa, God, would you just stir hearts, even on this podcast, God, to long to see God's glory revealed in the nations of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So good.
Amen.
Yeah.
We love you.
Love you guys.